Would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Psalm 120, Psalm 120. The book of Psalms is just shy of the halfway point in your Bible. If you get to Proverbs or Isaiah or Jeremiah, you've gone just a little bit too far. Psalm 120. And when you get there, would you please stand for the reading of God's Word? At home too, please stand with us, one family worshiping our one God together. Psalm 120. This is the word of the Lord, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior, sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. This ends the reading of God's word. Let's pray, give thanks to him for it, and we'll also pray for one another. Will you pray with me? Indeed, Lord Jesus, we give thanks to you for your word and that you meet with us by your Spirit through your word. And so we come before you with the cares and burdens of our hearts. We give thanks to you for your provisions and your triumphs in our lives. And we cry out to you for help in our places of distress. With our church family, we cry out to you. On behalf of Sheila McDonald with her stepmom Judy in hospice, would you comfort and strengthen them, provide and lead, and God, in all of this, strengthen the faith of your children. For our church neighbor, Trudy Pellegrini, across the street, this past week her husband died. We pray, Lord Jesus, for your comfort. We pray, Lord Jesus, for you to hide her in the shadow of your wings and she would hear your songs of comfort over her. And as we pray when we encounter death, God, even through death, would you bring forth life, your life, as you draw your people to yourself. We pray that, Father, as we think of other hard things, encountering those in our community. Andy Brady's brother, Matt, diagnosed with pancreatitis. A friend from the mission of his, Rylan, his dad, a teacher, going through an incredibly hard season. Our nation, these wildfires in California, Lord Jesus, would you help? Would you provide? And even in all of these things, what a year it's been. Would you drive your people to yourself, Lord Jesus? Strengthen the faith of your children. Pray that, Father, as our students here at Ivy Tech and Ball State begin classes tomorrow, for these students and Taylor and for those around us, Father, we pray that you would keep these campuses free of the coronavirus, that they would be able to stay open and students would be able to go to classes. Would you protect teachers and administrators and students? Give wisdom to our leaders. Provide for your people. And would your people be voices of peace and hope in a time of distress and darkness. We give thanks to you this morning also, Father, for the birth of Meadow Kinney, to Dylan and Holland and to Grandma Sharon. We know that you love life and you give life. And we pray for this little one, Father, to know you and to never know a day that she did not cling to you as her Savior. Be with parents and grandparents as they raise this little one. And would you be with us now as we study your word? Holy Spirit, would you open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand? Cause us here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and that we might love others as you love. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? This picture here that we're using for our series that we begin this morning, this is from a backpacking trip that my family took together in Yellowstone National Park. And this is my mom here hiking along the Hell Roaring Creek. Isn't that a great name for a river? Hell Roaring Creek. One of the things that I love about backpacking is, of course, this opportunity to get away from everything. And there are these times on the hike where you stop to rest, you take your bag off for a minute, and you just look around, and it's good. But you see the beauty, the sounds of creation, the smell of fresh air. And life's like that sometimes, isn't it? We catch these moments where we stop and we look around and we're able to see all of these amazing, these incredible things in life. Maybe it's a close friendship, the laughter of a child, love and touch, even the taste of a perfect meal. So many things, and it's good. Sometimes that's what life is like. It's just good. But then there are some really hard things about backpacking. As the miles wear on and there's no end in sight, there's just still so far to go. And the bag, it starts chafing. It's just not sitting quite right, and you can't get comfortable. Everything starts to hurt eventually. And then the trail vanishes. Maybe it's overgrown. Maybe it's because of lack of use. Or maybe you've got turned around. You've lost your way. There are times on the journey when it's just really hard. And sometimes life is like that, too, isn't it? The cares and the burdens of life sometimes, they just weigh on you. And they feel so heavy, chafing everything. Some days we're not sure we can even make it one more day. There are these times in life where we're not even sure where we're going. Maybe we know where we want to go, but it seems so far away. Or maybe we're just lost. Sometimes life is just really hard, isn't it? Bible scholar Leslie Allen says that Psalm 120, that it hovers between divine promise and fulfillment. It mixes joy and sorrow. Here we have thanksgiving and also lament. This is a psalm for the journey. It's a psalm for our journey through life as followers of Jesus. And Psalm 120 begins this section of the book of Psalms. It begins this section we call the Psalms of Ascent. Each of these psalms, Psalms 120 through 134, each of these begins with this heading. You can see it there in the text, a song of ascents, or a song of ascending, or a song of going up. And the scholars debate exactly where this title comes from, or to what exactly it refers. Even so, it's commonly held that the ancient Israelites would sing these songs. That's what a psalm is. It's a song. They would sing these songs as they journeyed to Jerusalem for one of their annual festivals. Each year, different times of the year, for example, maybe during harvest when the people celebrated God's provision, during Passover when the people celebrated their salvation from Egypt, there were these times, different times of the year, where the people would travel from their homes, wherever they lived, and go to Jerusalem. Gather together for this week of worship, this week of fellowship with God's people. In Jerusalem, it's situated on a hill higher than a lot of the area around it, hence the word ascents or ascending. It's going up to Jerusalem. And it's believed the Israelites would sing these songs on their journey as they would go up to Jerusalem. Well, then the New Testament writers, they often use this language of journey to describe following Jesus. Sometimes the writers use the language of exile, sometimes wandering, sometimes journey. And so Jerusalem, it became this image of our eternal destination as the people of God, the new heaven and the new earth, the world made right and whole and new again when Jesus Christ returns, that place of rest and peace and wholeness. That's the eternal city, the language of New Jerusalem. And as followers of Jesus, we're journeying through life toward that eternal place. It's a journey that's filled with joy. It's a journey that's filled with wonder and surprise, and it's good. Sometimes it's a journey filled with loneliness and pain and heartache, and it's hard. So in these psalms, the Psalms of Ascent, we'll see both joy and sorrow, thanksgiving and lament, pain and also peace. And in the journey, there's these days where you want to quit, right? You want to give up, throw in the towels, days when it seems like you can't even take one more step. And yet we keep going, one foot in front of the other. And these songs, the Psalms of Ascent, they give us courage. They give us strength, strength to take one more step, to go one more day. Eugene Peterson, in his classic book, in which he reflects on these songs, he calls his book A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's a great title. And this is that long obedience. It's the journey to Jerusalem, the long path of following Jesus in this world, the journey toward that place where all is made new and whole and right again. It's a good journey, but it's also a hard journey. And so we're going to spend the next many weeks together learning these songs, songs for the journey, songs for the long obedience, songs that will help us keep putting one foot in front of the other. The first song that we'll learn is Psalm 120. Psalm 120 is a psalm for the weary. It's a psalm about coming in from a long journey, coming in from a hard week, a miserable day. And in this song, we're reminded that God hears his people, that God defends his people, and that God strengthens his people. The first psalm of ascent, the song for the journey, God hears his people, God defends his people, God strengthens his people. Let's dive into this psalm together. God hears his people. Early in Israel's history, there's a woman by the name of Hannah. And she's married to a man named Elkanah. Elkanah has another wife named Peninnah. Peninnah has children. Hannah does not. Hannah wanted kids, but she couldn't have them. And even though she tried, Hannah could not get pregnant, and it was bitter to her. You see, in the ancient world, bearing children was your glory. And oh, how that other wife mocked Hannah. And every year, the family would journey to Jerusalem to worship, to bring sacrifices, to fellowship with God's people. And it's here, I think, we learn a little bit more about what that journey and that time at the temple was like, what that annual worship gathering was like. And you can read about this later if you want in the Old Testament book called 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1. There's this particular year, the family journeys to Jerusalem. Hannah goes into the temple, and she's crying out to the Lord. In the midst of her distress, she's weeping, she's praying, she's begging, she's pleading. In her distress, she calls to the Lord. Now, the priest working at the time, Eli by name, once he learns what she's doing, why she's crying out, the priest, he says this to her. This is 1 Samuel chapter 1. He says, "Go in peace, Hannah, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she replies, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Now, if you keep reading the story, as the story goes on, we learn God does eventually specifically grant her petition. She gives birth to the prophet Samuel. But what I want us to see is this. Year after year, year after year, as the family journeyed to Jerusalem, Hannah would go to the temple and cry out to the Lord. When life was hard, when she was laughed at and mocked in her own home, when her burden felt too heavy and she could barely manage to put one foot in front of the other, Hannah called to the Lord. You see, friends, the temple in ancient Israel, the temple was the sign of God's presence. The temple is this place where the priests were there and the sacrifices were there and the sacrifices were offered and the smoke in the temple, it represented the prayers and the praises of God's people going up to God and the words spoken by the priests and prophets. They were the very answer of God himself, his word read to the people, spoken to the people, his blessing and name placed on the people. This all happens at the temple. The temple stands at this constant reminder to the Israelites. God hears his people. When Jesus was on earth, during Jesus' ministry, do you remember that story about him going into the temple? That time when he made whips and he chased the thieves out of the temple? Do you remember what he said? He said, "This house will be a house of prayer." The temple stood as this reminder that God hears his people. And so we see in Jesus that he stands as the perfect priest for his people. And part of what that means is that Jesus is right now next to the Father, advocating for us, praying for us, interceding for us. Listen, people of God, God hears his people when they cry out to him. The Holy Spirit, what does the Apostle Paul teach us in Romans 8 about the Spirit? He teaches us that the Spirit intercedes for us, that he prays for us, especially when we don't know how to pray or we don't know what to pray. Those times in life when it's just weighing down on you and all you can do is groan inside, the Spirit's praying. God hears his people. And this gives us courage to stand back up, put our packs back on, and go a few more miles, one foot in front of the other. And one of the striking things about Psalm 120 is this. It's not clear that the situation actually changes. Look at verses 5 and 6. The psalmist says this. He says, I live among those who hate Jesus and his people. That's what these phrases are. They're referring to the Gentiles, to those who don't know the God of Israel, Meshach and Kedar. He lives among those who hate Jesus, hate his people. He lives in the midst of a world that's hostile to God, hostile to God's ways. And after the festival's over, when this week of worship is over, he has to go back home. After his journey to Jerusalem, after his prayers in the temple, he's got to go back. Friend, you got to go back out there tomorrow. You got to go back to class, back to work, back to hard marriages, back to hard families, back to situations that are just excruciating. But you go back knowing that the Lord sees you, knowing that he hears your cry of distress. He doesn't always change our circumstances, but he hears us. We don't know how many years Hannah had been going to the temple. How many years was she crying out to the Lord in her distress, begging for a child? How many years did she come in beat up from the monthly disappointment, beat up from the hostility of her own house? We don't always see what God is doing, but he hears us. God hears his people. And knowing that he hears us, it gives us the courage to keep trekking toward Jerusalem. This life of following Jesus, it's a journey. This long road of obedience toward that eternal Jerusalem. A long journey toward Christ and that world made new and whole and right again. And some days it's good. Some days it's really, really good. And on some days the journey is just so hard. But God hears his people. And God defends his people. Look at verse 2. Here in Psalm 120, verse 2, we see a bit more specifically the distress of the psalmist. It seems that in some way, we don't get a lot of the details, but someone or some group of people, they've been attacking the writer with false accusations. Maybe it's a court case. Maybe it's simple slander, but somebody is telling lies about the psalmist. And so he cries out to God, deliver me. Deliver me from these lies and deliver me from the deceit. And then verses 3 and 4 bring the answer. The lies and slander, the false accusations, they're like word arrows to the soul. If you've ever had someone lie about you, say false things about you, you know this pain, right? They pierce the heart. They discourage the spirit. But in verses 3 and 4, we see the Lord's response. God defends his people. He repays the word arrow of the liar and deceiver. He repays those word arrows with his own judgment. The image here, it's an image of an army marching out, arrows flying out against the arrow, the sky black with them, the roots and stems of the broom tree. These were great for coals, right? You light them on fire, and you have this incendiary weapon like flaming arrows. It's a picture of God's judgment against his enemies and against the enemies of his people. There is here an aspect, I think, of justification that we don't pay enough attention to, I think. Now, justification is this word used by theologians to talk about our right standing before God, right? Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, because of his righteousness credited to our account, we too are declared just. We're declared not guilty in God's court. It's legal language to define our right standing with God, justified. But there's an aspect of justification that we will experience at the end of time, when Jesus Christ comes back, when he comes to heal the world and make it right and whole and new again, when we arrive at that new Jerusalem, the end of our journey, Jesus will publicly claim his people as his own. On that day, Jesus judges his and our enemies. There's a final day of justice. And when we see that last enemy defeated by the army of heaven, that too, it's justification. It's final vindication of God's people. Final justice against God's enemies and against those who sought his people's harm. God defends his people. And a day is coming when he will claim us as his own in front of everyone and vindicate us. We might not see it in this life. We might not see evil defeated. We might not see injustices made right. We might not see that in this world or in this life. But Psalm 120 reminds us that God has promised to defeat evil in the end. Now, sometimes we do get to see it. We get glimpses of that in this world. Sometimes we see the wicked stumble. Sometimes we see evildoers get caught and get what's coming to them. But whether we see it in this life or not, the promise remains. God defends his people, and there will be a day of reckoning. And that, too, gives us courage for the journey. To get up, to put our packs back on, to log a few more miles, and keep putting one foot in front of the other. Because we know when we get there, when we get to that new Jerusalem, God defends his people. But what about today? So what about right now? What if I don't have what it takes to make it to the end, to make it all the way to Jerusalem? I think the psalmist is saying, don't give up, friend. God hears you, God defends you, and God strengthens you for the journey. God strengthens his people. You see, when life gets hard, when the journey gets too difficult, we all have ways of coping, don't we? You know, for some, it's to hide, it's to escape, find anything, something to dull the pain, distract ourselves from the misery. And then there's others who just, well, they just grit their teeth, they try harder, they push through, they pull themselves up by their bootstraps and just grin and bear it, right? But for the people of God, our strength is different. Our strength, it comes from the unlikeliest of sources because it comes from prayer. That's what the Psalms of Ascent are about. These songs, they give language for our prayers. They give words to our distress. They give words even to our joys. These Psalms, they teach us how to pray. And through prayer, God strengthens his people. This is why the Israelites, a couple times every year, they go to Jerusalem. It doesn't matter where they live, doesn't matter what it took. They packed up their families. They journeyed to Jerusalem because they knew that as they gathered together with God's people for worship, God would strengthen them. In Jerusalem, they cried out to God. In Jerusalem, they recalibrated their hearts to God. In Jerusalem, they heard from God. And in Jerusalem, God strengthened his people. Strengthened them so they could go back home. So they could go back to their lives. Back to the world. And continue to live for his glory. You see, people of Jesus, all of you who are on this journey toward the new Jerusalem, all of you who are on this path toward the world made new and whole and right again when Jesus Christ comes back, people of Jesus, when we learn this language, when we learn these songs, when we learn how to pray the Psalms, they shape us in faith for that journey to the new Jerusalem. It's a long journey, but through these songs, God strengthens us. God strengthens his people. The long obedience. It's the journey of following Jesus. Following him all the way to the end, to that eternal city, to that new Jerusalem. It's a long journey. And sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's really, really good. And sometimes it's really, really hard. But God has given us these psalms, Psalms 120 to 134, the Psalms of Ascent. He's given us these songs. So as we learn to sing them in prayer to him, we'll be strengthened for this journey. Strengthened to stand up, put our packs back on, and log a few more miles. One foot in front of the other. God hears his people. God defends his people. God strengthens his people through these songs. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank you that as you remind us in your word, you know that we are flesh and blood. You know that we are human. You know that we are weak. And you've given us all these gifts to strengthen us. Gifts like your word and your word proclaimed. Gifts like prayer. These songs of ascent. Would you teach our hearts these songs that we might have words to cry out to you and be strengthened to you through prayer. And we thank you for the gifts like this table that we gather around this morning where you strengthen and feed us by faith. And so would you, Lord Jesus, strengthen us for this journey that we might go out again tomorrow into your world and bring you glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.